Is everyone feeling very happy?
Yes.
I'm feeling very happy. This is a very wonderful experience, diving into the holy name together with so many nice devotees. I just received a report from the devotees. Yesterday was the 4th of July. And that's when the Washington Rath Yatra took place, right? The nationally televised Independence Day parade, and in the parade was our Rath Yatra cart. So one little report was from the devotees relevant to what we're doing. One of the booths in the Madhuha's Festival of India thing displays is mantra yoga, or japa yoga, it's mantra yoga, something like that. So there are some devotees that organized that, and they sent me a little note saying that 475 people sat and chanted Maha Mantra on beads yesterday, one round. And most of them took beads home with them. So collectively, we're going to chant more than 450 or 475 rounds. But that's a lot of rounds. That's a lot of japa. New people. So I wanted to share that with you, that the holy name, the tide of the holy name is rising. Get on the wave. This morning I thought that I would purposely keep class short so that we can maximize our time in chanting. We've had lots and lots of wonderful inspirational kirtan and discussions about chanting and exhibitions of different forms of glorifying the holy name and so on. So I thought this morning I'd just focus on Sanatana Goswami's verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas, which describes six items necessary to, well, the heading, he doesn't say improve chanting, but to bring about quality chanting. I shared this the other day in Nairobi, 1974, morning walk. One devotee asks Srila Prabhupada on the morning walk, how do we know if we're chanting in a quality way? And Prabhupada's reply was, you must. So Brahmananda, who was on the walk, and he said, Prabhupada, we know that we must, but how do we know that we're meeting that standard, that we're chanting in a quality way? And Prabhupada gave the same answer. You must. There's no question. You must. So he tried again. We know we must, but how do we know that we're meeting that standard of quality chanting? And then there's a long paragraph where Prabhupada went on about, there's no question of quality chanting for all of you. When there's quality chanting, it's not 16 rounds. Some very large number, 16 million rounds. Because when it's quality, there's such attraction for the chanting of the holy name, one cannot stop chanting. One's tongue will just continue to chant. It's not, oh, I have to finish my rounds. And now I can do what I want to do, because I finished my rounds. But he went on that the numbers were large, repeatedly saying several times, some number, large number of rounds, and continuously chanting. Then he went back and said, in your present state, there's no question of quality chanting. It's you must. 16 rounds, it's prescribed, you must. But from that practice of regular chanting, then gradually, ever so gradually, purification takes place. And as that gradual purification takes place, then some of these things that we see over here, you know, the challenge of I'm trying but my mind and so on, wanders. And as Badahari was describing so nicely yesterday, I was very inspired by how you spoke yesterday. Some realization comes, it awakens. Not just like something in a book, but you can feel beyond this body, there's this true identity, this spiritual being, and gradually unfolding just from the nourishment going to the soul from the chanting of the holy name. So, we read yesterday text 9 of chapter 1 of Brihat Bhagavatamrita part 1, where Sanatana Goswami is describing his relationship with Nama Prabhu. And in short, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. It was, for me, the holy name is everything. Now for us, the holy name is some part of what our life is made up of. For Sanatana Goswami, he did other services, but the other services were all in relation to his relationship with the holy name. It's like love. My beloved is everything. And I may do many things, but it's for my beloved. And for Sanatana Goswami, his love for Krishna was accessed through or was with the holy name. So Hari Bhakti Vilas is presented to us by Sanatana Goswami. Prior to Sanatana Goswami compiling Hari Bhakti Vilas, Gopal Bhatta Goswami did the gathering of scriptural evidence and under different categories very carefully established the procedures, the how-to, the sangskaras, how-to, deity worship, how-to, initiation, how-to, duties of various ashrams, how-to, and chanting of the holy name, how-to, how to properly chant the holy name. So I'm going to very quickly take you through Sanatana Goswami's how to improve chanting. And it's 6 points, so it's real simple. Those of you that are note takers, get your notepads out. I'll read the verse. It's chapter 17, text 129. At one point in time, our Sanskrit scholars working under Gopi Pranadana and Govardhan, they're working on translating Hari Bhakti Vilas. So we'll actually have a copy of Hari Bhakti Vilas and we can learn how to. This is just an extract from that. So he starts with Mana Samharanam Shocham Mona Mantarta Chintanam Avya Gratvam Anirvedo Japa Sampati Hetava. So the last part is translated the first part. Japa Sampati Hetava. In order to perfect our chanting of the holy name, in order to perfect one's chanting of the holy name, these 6 items are necessary. One needs to cultivate the following qualities. Control of the mind. Oh, forget it. I fail already. I don't even want to read the other 5. It's just control of the mind. Okay, read the next one. Internal and external purity. Silence. contemplation of the mantra's meaning, patience, and steadiness. It's almost like Utsahan Nishchaya Dharyat. And then the reasons for Utsahan, for enthusiasm. Okay, so here's the first one. Manak, the mind, Samharanam, to control the mind. Essentially, bringing the mind back. Yes, number four. So, Burijan captured one of the six items of Sanatana Goswami. And it's a practice. We could have a whole class on the importance of practice, because that's what we're doing. Our whole life in chanting japa is practice. Rabindra Sarup Prabhu gave a whole class on in our japa retreat in Ojai that I referred to, just on the importance of practice and the role of practice and different, and the, you know, the beginning, the middle, and the end was practice. Abhyasa. Our whole Krishna consciousness, quotes from Srila Prabhupada, it's practice. There are standards for that practice, and that's sadhana, vidhis of sadhana bhakti. But it's practice and practice and practice. There's a common saying, practice makes perfect. Or a saying that Prabhupada, I heard it so many times, I understood Prabhupada meant something special by it. He would say, by practice, something becomes second nature. So, thinking about what does that mean, second nature? We have our conditioned natures, swabhava, on the material platform. You know, we have propensities, we have personalities, we have characteristics about us, and they're all conditioned. It's not us. So what's us? And when we're taking spiritual practices, awakens us, our true identity. So that conditioned nature is replaced by our spiritual nature. And it becomes what's prevalent. It predominates instead of this conditioning thing. It's who we really are through spiritual practice. So controlling the mind by practice, the practice of bringing it back under the control of the self. Krishna speaks this in Bhagavad Gita chapter 6. From wherever and whatever the mind wanders, bring it back. So you may experience, don't be surprised, in the course of our 32-round day, there's some mind wandering that happens, and bring it back. And you can think, Sanatana Goswami's order is there, so, and Krishna's order is there, and bring the mind back. You're not alone, you have strength supporting you. Then, shaucham, purity. So we could think, you know, I can take a bath, but purity? Where's purity? Far away. So again, it's a cultivation. The example from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's a very wonderful example, is the Gundicha temple, the Gundicha Marjana Leela, where Lord Chaitanya and his associates, while Lord Jagannath is still in the Jagannath temple, they go to the Gundicha temple to cleanse the temple. And after cleansing the temple, they cleanse the temple again. And Lord Chaitanya alone gathered more dust and straw and sand particles than everybody else combined. He had a big pile. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has a long commentary, which Prabhupada refers to, that indicates this is symbolic. It represents cleansing the heart. So we practice purity, external purity and internal purity. Or as I was sharing yesterday, this meditation while chanting, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. One can meditate. It's very powerful that as I'm chanting, my heart is being cleansed. For that matter, when doing devotional service, our heart is being cleansed. Unfortunately, as Bada Hari Prabhu quoted yesterday, it's like washing a lump of coal. At least those of us that are American. Prabhupada said it's like washing a lump of coal. You wash the lump of coal and all this black yucky stuff comes, and what's underneath? Black yucky stuff. Okay, you wash it again, it's black yucky stuff, and just keep cleansing. Abhyasa. Bring the mind back. Try, strive, practice to establish purity internally and externally. Mona. Mona means silence. So, in general, Mona can mean not speaking prajalpa or not speaking something unfavorable to devotional service, not speaking ill towards a Vaishnav or about a Vaishnav. Today, we'll be observing Mona in a more strict sense. From the time that the class finishes, this includes the serving of prasadam and everything until we hit the next stage of our program, it's Mona. Of course, children don't know what that means. So children should be someplace other than the temple room. Mothers who have children, kindly take your children someplace besides the temple room, because we should have a nice atmosphere in the temple room. Silence. It's control of the tongue so that one can control all the senses and help control the mind. Just chanting Hare Krishna. We know in the Gundicha Marjana Lila, it's described that when they were gathering water from the Narendra Sarovar in buckets or clay pots, they were passing the clay pot from one person to the other saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's all you could hear, is the resounding sound of Hare Krishna. Or Hari, Hari. So that's what we do this morning. If you want some more subji, you just say Hari, Hare Krishna. That one. Hari, Hare Krishna. Or you're a server. Hare Krishna? Nothing but Hare Krishna till we come to our next program. Next is mantra. Mantrata chintanam. Mantrata. In relation to one's mantra, you are to meditate upon the meaning. Now, if there's a Gayatri mantra much longer, then there's a meaning. And when chanting Gayatri mantra, one should silently utter the syllables, but meditate on the meaning of the syllables. And our mantra has a meaning also. And meditate on the meaning. I shared with you yesterday the Trataka exercise. So if you find that you're just like struggling and you can stand in front of this board or one over here and follow with your eyes the words and meditate on the meaning. Hare Krishna. Krishna is, so the overall meaning is, Prabhupada has given us, pleasing, internal potency of the Lord. Mother Hara, or Radha, please engage me in the service of Krishna. So the meaning is a prayer, a call to somehow be engaged in Krishna's service. Like in the mood of a child calling for their mother. Something that I realized in the last several months is parents know which blood-curdling cry of the child that's screaming, if it's their child or not. I don't know how it works, but I've seen it several times now. We were in Seattle on a job retreat, and one child was crying, just started crying. Both the mother and the father, seated in different places, immediately got up, and they knew exactly that it was their child. It's like radar or something. So each of us may call a little differently. But Krishna knows. And he'll come to the rescue like the parents came to the rescue of their child. If we are calling in that mood. And that's meditating upon the meaning. Mantrata chintanam. It's a call. A prayer. Krishna, please accept me. There's our shortened version. Krishna, please accept me once again in your association, in your service. Krishna's there. It's not that Krishna's going to say no. Or even that we have to ask like that because Krishna's there. It's a matter of the heart. Opening the heart to receive that mercy of Krishna, his association once again. So, where's that picture? What happened? It disappeared. Can you put it somewhere? Right there, on the flip chart. Yeah, just. You know, just on the flip chart. On the flip chart. Great. Very good. You have something that'll keep it there? Great. Wow. Can you tell what that is? It's a blow up. It's not so clear. It's got improved. Those are little baby birds. And there's mama and papa bird. And the little birds, baby birds, have no wings. Or they have wings, but they have no feathers. And because they have no feathers, they're completely dependent. If the mother bird, father bird don't bring, they'll perish. So they come bringing some food, whatever it is, a worm or an insect or something yummy, and they're craning their necks. Look at their necks. Because without that, there's no sustenance. So, that's the meaning. Krishna, please accept me in your service. That's the meaning. Mantrartha Chintanam. Just before coming here to Chicago, I was in Houston. And when I go to Houston, I stay in the temple. And we're at Garunga Hall, which is right across from the temple. And the room is on the second floor. There's the ground floor. And our American system is that's the second floor. And then that's the row where there's Sunday school classes, but one of the Sunday school classes is for the visiting sannyasi room. And right outside the window is a palm tree. And I just noticed there is a little mother dove sitting on her little nest. But she didn't move all day long. I mean, she shifted a little bit this way, that way, but she's sitting on the eggs. She didn't go to Mama Dove School to sit on the eggs. She just does it instinctively. And, you know, with her big brown eyes as I would move this way, her eyes would move, and I would move this way. She was checking me out. You know, I'm going to protect these little baby birds at all costs. You know, but after some time, we got used to each other, and then she would kind of doze off. But I'm expecting it's going to be that kind of a scene, because once Mama or Papa Bird came, Papa Dove, and he came and he sat, and, you know, there was some exchange. I guess he was feeding her because she had to sit on the eggs or something like that. And, you know, they did their thing, and then he flew off again. So at some point it's going to be, I don't know if I'm going to be visiting Houston when it looks like that, but that's the mood. The meditation upon the meaning is not just, okay, this means that. It's not just an intellectual thing. It's a feeling thing. It's a mood of calling. In our Japa retreat that was just 2 weeks ago in Seattle, we had 64. We did it very differently. It was one day of preparation and one day 64 rounds. So this is different. That wasn't even a retreat. It was like a workshop. But during the 64-round day, we were in this much smaller space than this, and there were about 200 people. So it was like, you know, we couldn't even get up and walk around because there wasn't room to do so. And it was raining outside, so we had to stay. It was nice. It was very nice. It was cooler than this, and anyway, it was different. And during the japa, because we were all close together, when one devotee became very enlivened, it was contagious. There were times when there were like groups of devotees. It sounded like bees. And they were, you know, after the honey. And they weren't competing against one another. They were helping one another to get the honey. Madhuram, madre biopi. Where's that honey? And then many other things. The children were also, they were sitting quietly and absorbed. And the parents were amazed. They're not used to their children being absorbed like that. They're used to something else. But they were absorbed. And it was enthusing the parents. And then there was one Mataji who, every 3 or 4 minutes, her arms would go like this to continue chanting. So when we finished our 64-round day and we're doing our sharing, I was asking, what was this? She said, when my attention went away, I realized I'm helpless. And so that meant, Krishna, please pick me up. Krishna, please again attract me to the sound vibration of your holy name. So, or a small child. I'm not a parent, but I've watched how it works. The child goes like this. And the parent knows what that means. It means pick me up. So, the parent picks the child up. And commonly within about 15 seconds, the child looks to the other parent and goes like this. And the other parent knows what that means. It means they want to come over here. So come over here, and within about 20 seconds, they went down again. It's like, you know, love, validation, acceptance. So it'd be hard to chant like this all the time, but in our heart we can chant like that. And from time to time, if you find that mood is going away, that's something you can do. Or think of the birds, little baby birds that are dependent. Their effort is there, but the effort is not sufficient. It's mercy has to come. And we're calling for Krishna's mercy in the form of His association and His service. The next item is avyagratva. Avyagratva means patience. So if you are practicing and it's not happening, and you're like, hey, come on, I'm being patient. Excuse me, I'm being enthusiastic. I'm trying. And it's not happening. The mind is not cooperating. Persevere in that practice through the quality of patience. Nishchayat in Rupa Goswami's language. And in a general sense, when we're chanting our japa, the attention should not be simply when will I finish or today. I'm eager to finish my 32 rounds. But continue with a mood patiently, one mantra at a time, absorbed in the holy name. And when chanting is going nicely, that's the state of mind. We're absorbed and we're not impatient to complete our chanting. We're happy to be chanting. And when we're not happy to be chanting, we're doing just dutifully. Invoke patience, perseverance over time. And that's this last one, steadfastness. Persistent, sustained effort over time. Steadfastness. Anirveda. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has made a commentary on this verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas that goes like this. The Sanskrit is here. While chanting japa, remember Krishna's name with affectionate respect. Concentrate the mind on the chanting alone. Be pure in mind and avoid speaking uselessly. Contemplate the mantra's meaning and remain patient. These aren't exactly techniques. We can say they're techniques, but it's more a state of mind or an orientation or approach to chanting with the view to improve the concentration, the attentiveness to chanting, the mood of feeling, I was thinking about this yesterday. I'll end shortly. This one mantra at a time can be mechanical, and mechanical isn't enduring, at least for me. It's not, it can work for a while, but it's when it's, there's a personal exchange, then it's the sustainability factor kicks in. So, concentration upon the chanting of the holy name or attentiveness upon chanting the holy name is because Krishna's there, Krishna's present through that sound vibration. Not different at all from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His name and himself are none different. So, being present with him, he's kindly making his association available. Be present with him. And if we don't feel an attraction to being present with Krishna, it's only due to our offensiveness, and to overcome that offensiveness, attentiveness. Reminding oneself in a very personal way that Krishna is present with us. And we're taking the time in our busy lives to be present with him. So, I'll end, and hopefully we'll have a very nice experience this morning. As far as possible, the devotee should stay in the temple room. If you need to go for a walk, go for a walk. But you'll find the spiritual energy will be very supportive here in the temple room. and Kishore Kishori will be bestowing their blessings. The devotees can make some arrangement for Tulsi Devi to be stationed in the temple room and take the blessings of Tulsi Devi, because she's the bestower of bhakti. Haridas Thakur instructed chanting before Tulsi. He personally did and instructed those who he trained to chant before Tulsi, because real devotion can be awakened by the merciful personality, Tulsi Devi. I hope you all have a wonderful experience today. And we'll do some sharing afterwards for those that would, that have the time and the inspiration. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.